Perek Chaf Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Notel Adam es Beno. A person is permitted to take his son, whether it's in his home or whether it's in his courtyard on Shabbos, the Evan Beyado, and there's a stone in his son's hand. So even though there's a stone in his son's hand, and the stone is Muktza, and the son, you know, he's a little kid, he doesn't want to throw away the stone, you'll have to pull him and move him. And even though you're, by moving him, you're moving the Muktza, it's not a problem. The Gemara explains, though, that we're talking in a special case. We're talking in a case where the child, yesh lo gaguin al aviv, he has gaguin, meaning he's like, you know, cranky for his father, he's crying for his father. Rashi explains that, you know, if you don't let him take the stone, he's gonna go nuts and start screaming, he'll even get sick. So he's gonna get sick, the Chachamim, you know, made no gzeira, and you can move him around. Even though by moving him, you move the stone. So, and even though it's not sakanas nefashas, it's just a regular level of getting sick, then we don't want that to happen on Shabbos, and you can move your son, even though he's holding a stone. Some explain that it causes pain for the kid, even though alpha b'sha aim business sakanas chol, even if he's not gonna get sick. Just pain alone. He's gonna get cranky, he's gonna start crying, he's gonna throw a tantrum. So that kind of pain also, the father can move the son, even though the son is holding a rock. And then the father, by nature, is also be moving the rock. That's permitted because it's, you know, it's not direct. The Gemara also says this is only when the son is holding a stone. But if the son is holding a coin, then it's actually prohibited for the father to move the son, to move his kid, because we're afraid that the coin might fall from the kid's hand and the father will pick it up on Shabbos and move it. So this leniency is only by a stone with a kid, not by a coin. And only when it will cause pain or this kid will get sick. Then you can move your kid. And of course, this is all assuming that your kid doesn't want to put down the stuff. If you could put it down, then that's the ideal. Okay. V'kalkola. If someone has a basket, and inside the basket is filled with fruit. V'evan betocha, and then there's a stone inside the basket as well. And it makes it a basis. The basket becomes a basis. It becomes a base for both Isser and for Hekter. The stone is Mukta, the fruit are permitted. So now the basket becomes a base for both of them. So the rule is like this. Gemara explains that as follows. Let's see here. So first of all, they say right away that because it's a bus, it's a base for Isser and Hekter. And here the Hekter is more chashuv, the fruit are more important than the stone. So it's permitted Mutter to move the basket. Now, the Gemara explains the following. We're talking about a case that the fruit are actually wet, like wet strawberries or wet grapes, that if you were to shake the basket out, they would fall to the ground, they would get dirty. But if it's, you know, dry fruit, like walnuts or almonds, then the best thing is to shake out the fruit, and then, you know, Aslot to tell us, don't even, you know, don't move the basket. Leave the basket with the stone where it is. Shake out the walnuts and almonds and then take the stuff that you need. Better not to move the basket. We're only giving you a hector, you know, making this permitted when you have wet fruit that you can't shake onto the ground. And even they say by wet fruit, if it's possible to move the wet fruit to the side of the basket, to move it to the side of the basket and then shake out the stone without the fruit falling out. That's also the ideal. And then don't move the basket with the stone. Rather, that's also what would be the ideal. But over here, the reason why we permit it is because we're talking about a basket that has a hole in the wall and the stone is actually sealing up that wall. So it becomes part of the wall. And now, you know, it's permitted to move the basket. Some will go as far as to say that, you know, once the stone is filling up that hole in the wall, you could even move the basket without anything inside of it, because it became part of the basket. So there's a number of principles here that we're discussing. The general rule is that you always want to get rid of the stone first. Sorry, you always want to remove the fruit without having to move the stone. That's the ideal. If whatever reason you can't, so then if it's a basis, if it's a base for both Hekter and Isser, for fruit and stone, then you can move it. And then the other examples that we mentioned over here. Okay. Umatatlan, you can move on Shabbos, Truma Tmeya im Hatahara, defile Truma with pure truma. And here again, even though it's a defiled truma, truma tmeya is prohibited to be eaten, so it's muktza, because it's together with truma tahor, with pure truma, then the truma tahor is more important, and therefore you can eat, therefore you can move, I'm sorry, even the truma tmeya. And similarly, v'ema chulin, or if you had truma tmeya with chulin, with this non-sacred food, is permitted to carry it when you're doing it together. And the Gemara explains also, this is only when you have the tahor food on the bottom and the tummy food on top, that is permitted. But if the pure food is on top and the defiled food is on the bottom, then just remove the pure food from on top and leave the defiled food where it is, right? It's only when the defiled food is on top and the pure food is on bottom, you can't move the pure food, then we give you that heter to move it all. And even they say when the pure food is on the bottom and it's hard for you to access it, still, it's only when you have fruit that will become dirty on the ground. Because if you shake it out of the basket, it'll become dirty. But again, if you have, you know, walnuts or almonds, that if you shake it out from the basket, it will not get dirty. So even if it's on the bottom, best to shake it out and then take out the permissible food and leave the truma tmeya where it is. The only exception I'll bring down over here is that if you need the space, and when it's tzarech l'makom akli, you need the space where the utensil is, then since you need the space, whether the tahora is on the top or the tahora is on the bottom, then you can move the entire thing with tatla kabat ka'echad, because you have to get to the space. And the only way to get to the space is by moving the basket. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af malas amaduma be'echadu me'as. So what does that mean? The rule is like this. If you have one sa is a measurement, one sa of truma that falls into 99 sa of chulin, of non-sacred food, so then the whole thing becomes meduma, which means that the entire mixture has a rule of truma, because we don't know where the truma is, and it's prohibited for a yisrael, for a zar, for one who's not a kohen, to eat from that mixture, because you might eat truma. But that's a case of meduma. Sa of truma falls into 99 sa of regular food. You don't know where it is. Yisrael cannot eat from it because it's meduma. Aval, but if the sa fell into 100 sa of chulin, so then we see the truma would be batal, it's null, and the whole thing is permitted for the Yisrael to eat it. But at the same time, you have to remove one sa and give it to the kohen, so you're not stealing from the kohen, you give him back what is his. And then, of course, the rest is regular chulin, and you can eat it as is. So the Mishnah is coming to teach you that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's permitted lahalos b'toch atarubos as a sa l'kohen b'shabbos. You could remove the, you know, one sa of truma from the mixture for the kohen on Shabbos. And we don't call that, see here, it's not really muktzah. The issue here is not muktzah. What they're discussing is tikkun kli. You're not fixing. You can't fix something on Shabbos. So technically, you're fixing, you know, your food. So he says, no, you're not fixing the food, because anyway, if you shemutul olach batarubas af kodem shemim mena sol kohen, he says, because anyway, the Yisrael could have eaten from it before you move that sa to give to the kohen, because he could just say, hey, you know, I'm going to look at this mixture, I'm going to designate, you know, one spot of it for truma, and then the rest on the other side I'll eat, and I won't even touch it. So technically, you know, since he could eat it without physically removing it, even when he removes it, it's not considered teak, because it's not like you're fixing it. So this has nothing to do with muktzah. This is just discussing the concept of fixing on Shabbos. And in a case where you have 99 and the truma falls into it, so then it's checkmate, because the whole thing is like truma. But when you have 100 and the truma falls into it, so yes, granted, I have to return one to the kohen. When I remove it, I'm fixing my mixture. Here it's permitted to eat from the mixture on Shabbos, because technically I could eat from it without even removing it, because I could just, you know, look at one, say, hey, that one's for the kohen, eat everything else. So without even physically removing it, I'm already making it permissible. So therefore, to physically remove it and give it to the kohen is not a problem, and then you can eat your basket of fruit. And we don't call that tikkun fixing on Shabbos, because technically you were able to do it without physically giving it to the kohen. Moving right along to Mishnah days. Ha'evin shal piachav is if you have a stone on top of a barrel. They would place a stone on top of a barrel of wine. And now, hutzarach lidol minayayin, he wants to access the wine on Shabbos, but the stone is muktzah and it's covering up the barrel. You can't move it. What do you do? So Mata, tilt the barrel on the side, Altida on its side. The stone, if you know, fell, the stone will fall off. Then you can drink from the barrel. Okay? Simple. Hoysa, what happens if you have a stone on top of a barrel, but the barrel is bina chavios, it's stuck amongst other barrels. So you can't tilt the barrel, either because you physically have no room, or you're afraid that the stone might fall and break another barrel. So what do you do now? So now, instead of tilting, magbia, you lift the entire barrel up, umata altida vinofalas, then move it to the side, tilt off the stone so it falls off to the ground, and then you can drink from the wine. Okay, so we're doing, you know, derech, you know, the shino, you're accessing your wine with a shino by, you know, picking up the barrel, shaking off the stone, as opposed to, you know, removing the stone with your own hands. Mos shalakar, similar case if you have money on a pillow. Now you want the pillow. Noris akar v'inofa. So you should do is shake the pillow and the money falls down. And the Gemara explains that this is only, you know, in the case of the stone on the barrel or the money on the pillow that we're telling you, you can just tilt it and it falls off. That's only when you forgot the stone there. You didn't put it there on purpose. You forgot it there on Erev Shabbos. But if you put it there on purpose, so then you make the pillow or the barrel into a bustis, into a base for the prohibited item. And once a barrel or a pillow becomes a base for a prohibited item and it was done with intention before Shabbos, then on Shabbos you can't even move the barrel or the pillow because it becomes prohibited itself because it was supporting the stone. And that's the general rule of a bustis, that if it's, you know, supporting, if a permitted item supporting, the classic example is you have a table that you put your candles that were lit, you know, on Erev Shabbos on the table, and you wanted it to be there, then you can't move the table because the table's supporting the candles. If you didn't want it to be there, and somehow, you know, a guy came on Shabbos and removed the candles, then the table would be permitted to be moved. And getting back to our case over here, they say this is only also when you need the actual loishanu ela l'tzarech gufa, you need the pillow, you need the barrel. So as long as it was only the stone was put there by mistake, you could tilt it off and then access the barrel or the pillow. But if you need the makom, you need the space of the pillow, then if you need the space, then you could actually move the entire pillow or the entire barrel to access the space as opposed to just tilting the rock off of it. And of course, it's also only when you put the rock there by mistake. Okay, so when you need the actual barrel, you tilt it. When you need the space, you can move the whole barrel. Haysa love, if you had on the pillow, lishleshes, you had something disgusting, spit or tsoa or, you know, or fertilizer, just gross stuff on the pillow. So mekancha b'mispartut, you can wipe it off with a shmata on Shabbos, but don't put any water on the pillow, because if you put water on the pillow, it'll be like kivus, like washing, you know, like doing laundry on Shabbos, just prohibited. And in other case, haysa, if you had this lishleshes, this disgusting item, on your pillow, but the pillow is made of a shell of leather, then nozlamai machtech, you can even put water on it, because the water on the leather is not considered washing, because it just rubs right off. And therefore, you can do that until you remove this disgusting item off the pillow, even with water on Shabbos, because on leather, it just rubs off. But to do a real, real washing, a thorough washing, then even on a leather pillow, that would be prohibited.